And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, there's a few new things get used to with the new formatting of the show. So we are operating out of the Right Side Studios. That's big doings. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. We are so proud of the studio. You can see it, by the way. Here's a couple things for you to know. We are live streaming this show. So every single day, as I sit here talking into the mic, it's not just that we are, you know, on the air on radio. We're actually live streaming the show too. So if you want to, if I get to where I'm sounding ornery, and you want to see whether my face looks like I really am being ornery, you can go to the live stream and see. So yeah, that's right now up on. I guess the easiest way to find it is go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and you'll see, you know, us sitting there. We got the overhead view with, you know, Boomer and I both doing our thing. We got the side view. We got the in-my-face view. But anyway, yeah, it worked out really good the other day, too. We had guests in studio, Boomer, and they were both, sitting right here on camera streaming the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We got to see it all online, too.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm still amazed at all the things we're doing here that we, you know.
It's pretty impressive. And honestly, it's nice to see your beautiful face on the live stream.
Okay, turn your mic off now. That's good. All right. Anyway, that being said, there's lots of stuff happening. One of which is, by the way, some of you guys are our regular callers, and some of y'all just want to call in for the first time. Make sure you know we have a new number. All right, so don't call the old number. That goes straight to the Huntsville station. But literally, the new number is our own personal toll-free number, 833-687-4448. Here's how to remember it. It's 833-68-RIGHT. Oh, yeah. 833-68-RIGHT. Phil, how'd you get that number? Well, the 833 I couldn't help, but the 68 part's because I had a 68 Mustang in high school, and the right, well, that explains itself. So anyway, 833-68-RIGHT, that is the number for the show. And I know we had several callers the other day. We had some of our, I think Steve from Tennessee called just to say he had heard the new number, wanted to make sure it worked, or he wanted to test it out or something. But anyway, we appreciate all of you guys who've already been calling in on it. And just know, folks, we're going to keep putting it out there. 833-68-RIGHT, that's the number to the studio. A couple other things for you to know. First of all, we are hiring. What? Yes. It's on the website, rightsideradio.org, on the main page. There's a spot there that literally says Right Side is hiring. Click it and it drops down. It tells you what. But if you're one of those people who, you know, you can shake hands, look them in the eye, you can make your own hours, you're motivated, and you want to earn a good living, and you want to be a part of the Right Side team, we would love to talk to you. So, yes, check out the job description right there. On the rightsideradio.org website, rightsideradio.org. It's got all the stuff on it. Okay, moving on. The first part of the Triple Dipper, which we're going to get more into when we come back from the break. I'm a firm believer that, yes, there's three branches of government, right? State and federal has it. We have the legislative branch, judicial branch, and the executive branch. There's your civics lesson 101 for the day. But the executive branch does have certain authorities. It is allowed to do certain things and to do them differently. The executive branch is the executive. It's like the governor is the chief executive of the state. And there's different styles. I mean, you know, I had a chance to be around Governor Riley before he left office, and he had a far more direct style. It was good. I mean, you knew who was in charge when Governor Riley was in the room. And I don't mind that a bit. I mean, I probably respond to that myself pretty well because that's the military background, the direct and the let's go do this and here's how we do that. I had a friend of mine who worked for Governor Riley who said it was hard to brief him because he usually already knew the answers because he usually had studied up before you came in to brief him. Usually he said we had a morning meeting every day at like 7:30 or 8, I've forgotten what it was. And usually by the time you got to the morning meeting, he was already there, coat and tie on, cup of coffee in hand, and had already read like four different newspapers and was ready to discuss the issues that were affecting the day. Well, then, you know, then we had Governor Bentley. And Governor Bentley, I mean, for all of the issues that caused him to have to leave office, let me set those aside just for a second and say Governor Bentley had a totally different style. His was far more of a laid-back, sort of mild-mannered style. And now Governor Ivey's the governor. She took over when Governor Bentley left. Well, let me just tell you what we're not seeing right now. What we're not seeing is the direct kind of take charge leadership in the executive branch that we have had under previous administrations and that we certainly are seeing in other places. If you look next door, right next door on our southern border at Florida, you're going to see a governor who calls for things to happen. You're going to see a governor who rejects things when they happen. You're going to see a governor who says, that won't happen, or on my watch, this will happen. We are not seeing that in Alabama right now. What we're seeing is more of a go-along-to-get-along kind of administration. How do you feel about that, Governor? Well, I just that is not the way I would like to see things go. Well, you're the governor, Governor. And I got some examples. This is not going to be just, you know the deal. I've done some research. I've pulled some articles. I've got some things for you to consider. But what we're not seeing right now is the kind of leadership that takes charge and runs the show. And we need that, especially right now. All right, we're going to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Yep. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Okay, hey, listen. Number one on the Triple Dipper. I gave it kind of a question title. The title of this section of the Triple Dipper is, hey, Governor Ivey, who's in charge? Why would I ask that question? Well, first of all, let me just say this. I'll give credit where credit's due. I'll call out the right side of things. I'll call out things that I think need to be improved. All right? So there's that. Like, for instance, I will say this. Here's a good news before I get into the things that frustrate me. A good news piece is what's today, the 25th? Yeah, 2 days ago, over the weekend, Governor Ivey announced a new state record all-time low unemployment rate. Now, I will say this. There are a lot of things that the legislature has done to help build that together. She signed the bills, but she does have some say in what happens economic development-wise, obviously. She has an administration that is pro-economic development. So on Friday, Governor Ivey announced that Alabama's preliminary seasonally adjusted June unemployment rate is 2.6%. That's amazing. And that's down from 2.7% the month before and down again from 3.5% this time last year. So that's a great thing for Alabama. By the way, I am not going to be one of those shows that just literally only focuses on what I don't like, all right? This ain't no three-hour gripe session for me. But the good news rolls in, says Governor Ivey. As we reach another unemployment milestone of 2.6% for the third consecutive month, Alabama has set a record low unemployment rate. That's good stuff. Biggest gains were in the trade, the transportation, and utility sector, which picked up 7,200 jobs. Construction sector was next with 7,000 jobs. Manufacturing was 6,700 jobs. County with the lowest unemployment rate, Shelby County at 2.3%. County with the highest unemployment rate, Wilcox County, woo, at 10.1%. City with the lowest, Trustful, 2%. The city with the highest unemployment rate, wow, Selma, 8.7%. Nonetheless, though, overall state unemployment, big doings there. And so I congratulate the Ivey administration for being able to take a victory lap on that. Well, I got some things, though, that are going to curl your hair about stuff that's also happening, though, in our state government. That just appears like she has a laissez-faire kind of a, wow, that happened? Huh. Well, I don't agree with that happening. Well, that's not the way we want an executive to respond. Let me do this, though. I got a caller on line one there, Boomer. Is that right? Yeah, let me jump over real quick. Oh, it's Sparky. Hey, Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm outstanding. I've enjoyed your segment where you talked about Republicans having to have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree 100%. I think perhaps Kay Ivey's plan is to be laissez-faire because she enjoys such a super majority and has very little about it. And I don't know, there's something about motivation. But the motivation for Republicans running in November and hoping to get a majority in the House and the Senate, it can't just be rhetoric of, we're going to fight Nancy Pelosi, we're going to fight the Biden woke agenda. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You got to be able to articulate, what are we going to do if we get a majority? These are the things we are tangibly promising you we're going to do. Like you said, a contract is nice as opposed to intangible. We're going to fight them, and we're going to fight them tooth and nail. We're going to oppose their agenda. Like, okay, well, those are nice words, but you got to get in there and dig a hole of a certain dimension and depth, don't you?
Yeah, and Sparky, I mean, wouldn't you agree, man? I think the people rally around a plan. People like to know what the plan is, don't you think?
Well, they do, but they also admire a very clearly stated objective.
Yeah.
And because a lot of politicians are really good at sort of banting about, dancing around the topic, and then saying, well, we're certainly going to address that. And that turns me off in a split second.
Yeah.
And you say, no. We're not going to sort of address that issue. We're not going to talk about that issue. Tell me what you're going to do to make this happen, and what can I do to help?
Yeah, perfectly put. I mean, and you're right. And there's more necessary than just saying I'm a Trump Republican and I'm against Nancy Pelosi, because you're right. That's when you if that's all you got. Well, I mean, wow. Okay, what are you gonna do? Hey, Sparky, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you as always.
All right, man.
Yeah, and he's right. Having a plan means something. And by the way, the plan can adjust. You know, it's not like the plan is fixed and cast in stone and cannot. And you gotta have the ability to flex. So I get where plans can adjust, and sometimes they adjust on the run. I mean, we used to have an old saying: you got to be more like Gumby. We used to say "Semper Gumby," as a matter of fact, a lot of times, which just meant always flexible. So if you can't adjust on the run, then you're so rigid that your plan is going to fail probably anyway, because you're not able to adjust to the obstacles that the enemy throws at you along the way. However, that being said, if you go in without a plan to begin with, it just reduces your chances of success right up front, exponentially, mitigates it completely sometimes. All right, let me jump back to the triple dipper piece. Great call from Sparky. Hey, Governor Ivey, who's in charge? Here's one of the reasons that I came to that whole section of the Triple Dipper here. Story off AL.com. And because this happened to me with the military one time, it really caught my attention. I'll never forget, literally, I retired in 2017 at 30 years as an 06. I retired, and I spent my last, you know, several weeks on active duty down at MacDill Air Force Base at SOCOM. And so I was down there, and I come home, and 2 years later, 2 years, I got notice that they were pulling part of my pay, like 1 day or 2 days of pay. What? Because they said that they couldn't find records to substantiate those 2 or 3 days or whatever it was. I'm like, what are you talking about? I can't even submit for pay until someone signs off on it. And I'm an 06. You think I'm going to lie about an extra day or two of pay? Well, they were taking my pay whether I wanted them to or not. They actually wound up garnishing my next tax refund. And it didn't matter who I called, how I dealt with it, whether I could deal with anybody at, you know, at national or state or anything else for that matter. It was just too bad for my luck. Well, what's going on right now is the same type thing with Alabamians all over the place. Story on AL.com dated this past Thursday or Friday. Alabama wants its unemployment checks back. What? Yeah, so Alabama wants its unemployment checks back. So the story starts off with a lady named Erica Martin talking about how her daughter plays the French horn in Opelika school band, but Alabama just recently informed her it wants $15,000 of the pandemic unemployment that it paid to her back. So now she can barely afford rent and let alone afford her band fees. This is unconscionable to me. Now, first of all, does it sound galling? Yes, it does. But at the same time, you think, okay, there's got to be a means by which, like, common sense can prevail, right? Well, it is state government, so sometimes you wonder. Well, in other states right now, the appeals on questions regarding unemployment are being met with a reasonable timeline, like Kansas, 15 days. Alabama is years behind right now. There are 12,000, apparently, according to AL.com, 12,000 backlogged appeals. Erica Martin is just one of many. Alabama apparently reported overpaying $164 million in unemployment in 2020 and 2021. What in God's name? So you look at it and go, okay, this is really screwed up. But it's not just screwed up state government, our taxpayer dollars. Now it's also screwed up, oh, by the way, in a way that impacts people's lives in a horribly negative fashion. I mean, how do people who were on unemployment until most recently suddenly come up with $15,000? You've got one right now who was on the phone talking to AL.com for the article. What is her name? Melissa Fass. And she works at the Space and Rocket Center. Or she did. She worked at the Space and Rocket Center before getting laid off during the pandemic. She wound up moving to Florida. She got notification that she owed $1,200. While she's talking to them, she opened up her appeal online to see how it was and was shocked to tell AL.com live while she was talking to them the overpayment in her account was now increased to $20,000. So during the pandemic, the federal government paid out hundreds of billions of dollars to states, right? Paid people the extra $600 of unemployment money to keep them, you know, from not working in some cases. But because the government threw money out there so fast, the states weren't always ready for it. Well, that being said, Alabama saw a whopping 580% increase in its claims between May of 2019 and May of 2020. And it just gets worse from there. Well, right now in Alabama, the average appeal is lasting 566 days. Just unreal. I got another one here that he owed $7,200 in back payments. How do they expect this to work? Well, so you look at it and go, okay, hang on. It's the Department of Labor. It's all right. Governor Ivey, she says she's a conservative. She's going to be in charge, right? And the Secretary of Labor, I mean, Secretary Washington works for her, right? So Secretary of Labor Fitzgerald Washington responds to the governor. Well, what's the governor's response? The governor's office says they were not consulted about the department's efforts to recover money from workers. And the department responded to her inquiries, saying that it would consider making changes. Who is in charge here? Is she or is she not the executive in charge of our state? And you've got all these citizens right now that are being dunned for monies that the state knows they can't pay back. The state has a glitch, it overpaid. The state better figure out how to handle it, like real quick. And by God, I'll tell you right now, anybody who says that they're the executive needs to be able to look at the Secretary of Labor and say, you will figure this out today. And it will not involve citizens having to cough up money to pay back what the federal government gave to us to give to them. So here it is. Gina Mayola, spokesperson for the governor, says, we have asked Labor Secretary Fitzgerald Washington to provide us with solutions to resolve this concerning situation. And then went on to say the governor was not consulted. And the department then responds back, it would consider making changes. Well, who's in charge, Governor Ivey? Really? Well, I got a few more of these, like, I don't know, what did the Department of Public Health say? When they talked about normalizing masks, did the governor respond to that? Or how about this? Where's the governor on National Guard being just axed right now? Well, I'll tell you what, I got about a minute for the next break. Do I have a caller hanging on the line, Boomer? I do? All right, let me just jump over there. It's going to be a change of subject, it looks like, but I'll take it real quick. Jerry from Decatur. Jerry, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. How you doing today?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I'm doing good, too. Hey, I just wanted to speak to you about this upcoming election and be mindful of what happened in 1992 when Bill Clinton was president and the House flipped in 1992. And Bill Clinton brought a lot of liberalism, and Hillary did too. You remember her health care went to a flop. And so when he was president, Newt Gingrich told him, look, if you want to be a halfway decent president, you're going to do things our way because we control the House. And so that's the reason why I'm speaking about that this election is so important that we do flip the House to get to hogtie President Biden with all of his stupid policies.
You're right.
Because it just ain't going to fly. And that's why this is important. A lot of people that's voting today don't remember 1992. And the 90s was pretty good, but it was because we had a Republican House and Senate. And so we just have to be mindful that this is very, very important that the American people vote this time. And let's get this thing straight and flip this thing over and let's get it straightened out.
Jerry, I totally agree. And Jerry, I hate it, but I'm up against a break, man. I gotta run to a break right now. But you are perfectly on track, man. Great call, and thank you for that.
Yes.
All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. We gotta run it before I run long on this segment. I think I already did run long, but anyway. And by the way, Jerry's right. That goes back to that plan. 92, Clinton's in office. By 94, a contract with America, the plan. Republicans laid it on thick and won big. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama solid concern. Conservative and just plain right. Story off of 1819 News. My friends at 1819, Erica Thomas wrote this one, dated July 23rd, so it came out over the weekend. So you may recall that just last week, and I'm one of those who took issue with this on social media, the Alabama Department of Public Health, oh yes, the Faucis of Alabama, the Alabama Department of Public Health, issued this or put out this tweet. I know they were, they've got some intern there working who thought they were just doing a good thing, I'm sure. But you know what? They haven't backtracked that I know of. But they put out this tweet that basically called for the normalizing of masks. I think it said something like, if you have to question, then just go ahead and wear the mask. Let's normalize masking in Alabama. How about no? How about that's not normal? And I refuse to say, hey, this is going to be great. Let's go ahead and just call it a new normal. No. Well, you look at that and go, okay, it's the Alabama Department of Public Health. Do they answer to the governor? Technically, they don't, which is one of the things I think needs to change. Nobody realized this until the pandemic. I spent 8 years in Montgomery serving in the legislature. Had no idea. No idea that our esteemed Dr. Scott Harris, who serves as the state health officer, is not accountable to the governor at all. However, they did work hand in glove quite often during the pandemic. Well, so Governor Ivey's response to ADPH, the Department of Public Health's idea of normalizing masking, she says it's not in her vocabulary to do that. So Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, according to 1819 News, who previously supported executive orders requiring masking, opposes the ADPH's push to, quote, normalize masking now. Following an increase in COVID-19 cases across the country, the ADPH put out that tweet that I just told you about a minute ago, even had a little short video with it of everybody happy wearing their masks, although you can't tell because they're smiling behind the mask. When asked if Ivey agrees with the campaign to normalize masking, the governor's office responded with a classic Iveyism. No step too high for a high stepper. Well, you got, this was her quote. A seafood restaurant would serve Rocky Mountain oysters before there was a mask mandate in the state of Alabama. What? The governor's office said in a statement, normalizing masking, COVID-19 restrictions, and the like are not anywhere in the Governor Ivey's vocabulary. Okay. How about this? Governor Ivey did call for masking, and she stood alongside Dr. Scott Harris, who presides over the Alabama Department of Public Health. In July of 2020, the article points out, she tweeted out then on her official account, we're going to need everyone's help if we're going to slow the spread and turn the trends in different directions. We're asking everyone to do a better job of practicing social distancing, personal hygiene, and now wearing face masks. A year later, she even blamed Alabamians who had not gotten vaccinated as the cause of her increased number, the increased numbers in the state of Alabama, not hers. I look at this and go, okay, where in here, though, am I seeing anything that says, I'm the governor, that ain't happening? She says that she doesn't like this. It's not in her vocabulary, but she's the governor. Who is in charge? So the Department of Public Health puts out, let's normalize masking, and the governor's response is, well, that's just not my vocabulary. It was before. You know what we really want to hear, Governor? We want to hear, not on my watch. Department of Public Health, get your act together. Take down that tweet. Because, you know what, you may not answer to me, but I can meet with the legislature and we can find a way to, you know, pull the purse strings. I'm just saying, leadership is not what we're seeing right now. And then we got one of my favorites. Story off of Fox News. Representative Michael Waltz, himself a combat veteran, a former Green Beret, still serves in the Florida National Guard, I believe. Did you know, by the way, all you folks, all you right-side ruffians out there, we're about to potentially lose 18% of Alabama's National Guard due to COVID vaccine mandates? Did you know that? Did you know that we're about to lose 18% of our National Guard, which includes F-16 fighter wings, infantry battalions, special forces units, EOD groups, signal battalions? Governor of Oklahoma says they're not standing for it. Governor of Florida says they're taking action. Governor of North Carolina wrote to the Secretary of Defense. Governor of Alabama hasn't said a word. Who is in charge? You're the commander-in-chief of our Alabama National Guard, and I hadn't heard boo on this topic. Where is Governor Ivey on this? Is she in charge? Is somebody in her office advising her on this? Let's hope so. Hey, coming up next, my buddy Dale Jackson coming on to kind of talk this through with me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative.